Pass the salt.
It's time. It's time.
Hey, you, pass the salt.
You know what, why it's disintegrating? Because we're jellyfish.
Pass the salt, will you?
Pass the salt.
Pass the salt, amigo.
It's time. It's time.
I think they could give us a new name. I believe we are Evan Jellyfish.
Hey, will you pass the salt?
Pass the salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed in this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a Coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
Hey, good May the 9th. Happy May the 9th. Somebody's really excited today. It's their birthday. It's their anniversary. They just had a grandchild. May 9th, 2018 is going to be a record. Going to be a great historic day for somebody today. This is the day that the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. And man, I'm glad you joined us today. I got a lot of stuff I want to talk about. I got to do a little bit of I hate to do this. No, I don't hate to do this. I got to do a little bit of homework first, a little bit of whatever. Listen, folks, we're starting to our event coming up in May. I'm sorry, coming up in June 14th and 15th. Our all hands on deck event here in Ohio. Come on, man, please get on board and get registered. We're charging $30 for this event, only because we're buying food for you. $30 all inclusive. You can come and you can camp. We have primitive camping available. That means a tent. You can take that doesn't cost anything. You can take a sleeping bag and you can sleep on the floor of the facility. That doesn't cost anything. You can pull a camper. We have some limited camping opportunities for like RVs and stuff. It won't cost you anything, but we have a KOA close by. If you need something fancy, you can do that. You can get in hotels. So this can be a really, 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 really cheap, inexpensive opportunity for you. It's June 14th and 15th, all hands on deck. And I'm frustrated. It's not the right word, although it's probably the right word. I just watch what's going on around us, and I just continue to be frustrated that we don't have much going on. Our side doesn't have a whole lot. Our side has politics. That's really all we have. Elect conservatives, that's all we have. And now that our all hands on deck event, we're going to do three different things, actually. It's going to be great fellowship, as there always is. You're going to meet some like-minded guys. There's going to be a trip to a local mosque. Oh, I know. I said to somebody yesterday, what does that tell you about Islam if you're afraid to go to a mosque? If you go to your friends and say, hey, you want to visit a mosque with us? And they cringe. What does that tell you? Are you afraid to go to the local Methodist church? Hey, let's go to the Methodist seminary. How many of you go, oh, no, we might get killed. I thought that ought to tell us something, right? So we're going to go to a local mosque, and we're going to deliver the gospel of Jesus to them. We're going to go to a Planned Parenthood. Some of you have never, ever done that. We're going to give you a chance to walk out and live out your faith. We're going to go to the local Planned Parenthood, and we're going to go to the Homosexual Pride Parade. We're going to do those three events in 3 days. Yeah, it'll wear you out, but it's going to be a lifetime experience like you. Hey, guys, girls, come on, man. Come on. I can't figure out any reason why you wouldn't come here other than you have a lot of other reasons why you won't come here, but not really a good one. Church camp for adults, that's what Chad Estes calls it, and it is. That's available online. Okay, listen. Say, Coach, I don't have $30. Okay, Roger will pay for it. Chad will pay for it. Somebody will pay for your $30. Get here. But you got to go online and do some registration for us. Now, listen. Don't call Pastor Tom Gill at the gathering. Don't call him. Call me. Call us. Don't call him. He's merely letting us use his facilities, all right? Don't call him and say, is there restrooms? Are there hamburgers next door? Don't call him. Get in contact with us. We need you to be part of that. It's going to be a big event, and it's going to be really good. We're looking forward to it. It's exciting. Don't forget Pastor Mike Spalding's event's coming up the week before there in Ohio. Let's get my dates going here. 7th and 8th, I think it is, although I may have the wrong dates. That's available. Listen, we're trying to equip you and plug you in and take your faith from just emotion, get it away from just emotion. And then something else I was really tapped on the shoulder about yesterday. I was talking to Gary Gary Pierce, who helped does some stuff for us here at Pass the Salt. Folks, listen. I have some stuff. It's amazing. This is a 3-seat for any. You send any. You go online and you send. You give us any offering at all, and I'll send you some stuff. I'll send you this 3-CD series that you can use in a lot of different ways. You can use it with kids. You can use it a Bible study. It's called "It's Time to Wake Up." And on the back of it, these are. I don't know if you can read that there. There's three of them. It says, "Are you?" Let me see if I can read. You serve the God you see. Faith without works is dead. And are you converted? These are three presentations that I made that have really, I'm telling you, they're really good. You can do a Bible study off of them. And then Gary Pierce said to me yesterday, I've got so much good material for folks that I just don't even say anything about because I don't want to sound like I'm hawking stuff, you know? It takes money to do what we do. And I got a lot of great stuff. I got a 2-CD set that we made for Hear the Watchman Con, all the conferences. And I didn't do a very good job of marketing. I got a bunch of them left. I'd love to sell you, send one to you. And here's what it is. It's 14. You guys know I write every week at newswithviews.com. And these are 14, seven on one, seven on another, commentaries that I've written that I read. They're all about 7 minutes long. And Gary said to me yesterday, he says, "Coach, I have that thing in my CD player. In my car, I get in there, and that stuff just plays over and over." And I said, those things are so profound. So I got all that stuff, man. All that stuff. It's just sitting here collecting dust. Some of it. And I'd love to be able to get that stuff out to you. So first of all, we need help. We always need financial help. I'm not begging. We're not going broke. We're not going under. We're going over. But just to keep the stocks, the shelves stocked with stuff, we have stuff that we want to put in your hands. Now, some of your Patreon. And I haven't done a real good job of some of that Patreon stuff. If you're a Patreon supporter and you haven't been receiving stuff to us, please send me an email and I'll get this stuff right out to you. Trying to think if there's anything. Does it sound like I'm hawking stuff? Guys, listen, I got so much encouraging stuff for you. Oh my goodness!
But I got a coach.
Okay, everything that I'm sending to you, everything I'm telling you about will encourage you. And some of you say, "Well, coach, what can we?" You know, I don't know what to do. I would start an organization in my house, but I don't know what to do. Well, hey, Michelle, if you're listening to me, I know she is. Go find one of those little CDs. You know what I'm talking about? That 2-CD set. I think they're out in the garage. You could take this 2-CD set, and there are 14 commentaries recorded on it. And you could get 8 people over to your house. And you could pluck that thing in and you could play it and it would play 7 minutes. And then you could open up your Bible and say, "Okay, what do we think about this?" There is a Bible study right there. If you don't know how to launch, that would be a good way to be able to launch. I'm trying to put stuff into your hand that's going to help you. It's a great frustration to me.
Hey,
Gary pounded me on the head last night. Coach, you got all this stuff, man. Get this stuff out to people. And I said, yeah, I'm trying. I don't know how to do it. It's all good stuff. George.
Hey, I just want to say, since I've known you probably 2.5-3 years, whatever it's been, you've never hawked anything. I remember a year ago you did a men's leadership for one of my good friends, and you gave away, probably $30-$40 worth to probably 30-40 guys. So. No, that's like the first time I've heard you do this, I think, since I've known you.
Thanks, George. My wife.
Coach, I didn't realize you had all this stuff. I would love
No, I got that one, sweetie. They're out in the garage, I think. Well, Serge, my wife just went out and got, here's one of them, okay? It says, "Let the sparks fly." And here's what's on this. I did a commentary called Lip Service. You say, what? Well, you got to hear it to believe. And you listen to that 7-minute thing, you can say, what? Then it says war evangelicals, not evangelicals, war evangelicals. Oh, it's good. And I talk about, what do you think I'm talking about with war evangelicals? And then as long as it says, "Let the sparks fly," and you can figure that one. Dead men walking. These are commentaries I've written that I read. I'm telling you, get off of your butt. How about that one? How about this one? The Impotent American Church, Rescue the Perishing, 9 and 8. and crown thy good. That's just one of them. And then I got another one. It's a two CD set. I got another one with seven more of them on there. They're unbelievable. I've had people tell me, Gary Pierce said this to me last night. Coach, I put that in my thing and I play it over and over and over and over and over as I'm driving down the road. I just play it over and over and over. The truth in each one of those little things. So I got all this stuff. I'd love to get out to you. Okay. I'd love to get, just go to online, say, make a donation. Say, Coach, send me some of that stuff, will you? I'll send you some of that stuff. Okay. Okay. Okay, Serge. And the Patreon folks, if I'm a little bit behind on that, I apologize. I got so much good stuff. So much good stuff. I want to, that's how we pass the salt. It's the only thing I can figure, you know? Maybe buy an extra one. Say, Coach, send me two, and then give one to somebody whose eyes are almost open, just kind of getting open, because these things, I'm telling you, are very, very powerful. Short and powerful. Truth. And that's a battle, and it's a battle's over truth. When I was up there prepping today, I was going to go out in the garage and grab one of those, and I forgot to do it. And so apologize for that. Okay, cool. What have I forgotten? Have I forgotten anything? Sarge in here? Anybody? Gary always listens. Gary listens later on with his wife, so Gary's never in here live. I want to say this right now. Thank you, Lord. Jeff Klein didn't win in Mount Vernon. Jeff Klein didn't win. Didn't win the commission. And I saw, you know, I've seen the election results last night. As a guy who's run, I've run for election three or four times. Never won. I've never won. And I always tell folks that when you run for election, you ought to run to try to win. But you don't run to win. You run to be a witness for Christ. And I can't tell you what a powerful witness for Christ Jeff Klein has been. And, you know, Jeff, I know the feeling. You get up in the morning, you discourage, you know, you look at the number of votes, whatever, a lot of different things. You have been a powerful witness for Christ in running for that office. Now, let me, folks, can I tell you the truth right now? Can I give you the truth right now? Christians don't want Christian leaders. And so I'm going to say it again. Christians don't want real Christian leaders. They want these guys that have a form of godliness and deny the power thereof. From such men turn away. So when Jeff Klein's running for election, and he's got a pastor, one another guy running for election for county commissioner, it's also, believe it or not, a pastor. And everyone, of course, every one of them go to church, right? Every one of them go to church. And then nobody mentioning morality or anything like that. They're all talking about how great they're going to be in government. And Jeff stands up and says, listen, our problem isn't government. Our problem is morality. And we need more Jesus. We need to get Jesus to these young. When Jeff runs on a platform of Jesus, I can promise you, Jeff, you're probably not going to win. But you'll never know the number of people who are impacted by the stand that you took. So I just want to, I want to encourage more of you. You know, I ran for Congress in 2010, and I ran with my cross at. I ran as an open Christian guy, thinking that Christians would vote for me. And they didn't. Because why? Christians, truth be told, they want abortion. They want divorce. They want to have all this stuff in the world. They don't want some guy going to come in there and bring a standard of righteousness in. Are you kidding me? They don't want that. They want $3 worth of God, please. Remember that one? That's what they're after. They don't really want to get to the root of the problem. They really don't want to. They don't really want to wake up and understand our schools are demonic. They don't want to do that. They don't really want to wake up and understand our government. Oh, yeah, everywhere you look, our government's wicked and evil. Evil men have crept in unawares. It's what it says in 2 Timothy 3, which I'm looking at right now. They don't really want to go there. They want to put people in power who just say the right things. And say the right things is they're not divisive. They're not edgy. And yeah, they love Jesus, but they keep him in their pocket. That's why we're in the screwed up mess that we're in. You mark my word, the day is coming when bold, open Christians will either get elected or killed. And I don't know which. The perilous times are coming.
Amen.
And I would just encourage you, Jeff, continue to encourage you, Jeff. Don't be discouraged, man. Don't be discouraged. And I would say to others out there, throw your hat in the ring and run, because it's a great opportunity to witness to the truth. And Jeff can go back today and continue to do everything he's been doing, and he's going to be able to say the rest of his life, see, I told you so. I tried to warn you. I tried to warn you. So the victory is not in the win. The victory is in the faithfulness to stand up for the Lord. And I just want to say publicly, Jeff, I'm sorry you didn't win. But I know this, you're not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation. And we live in a society where people, no matter how much they say it, just don't want to believe. Amen. Somebody come on in here, man. Yeah. Yep.
It was good last night. Pastor Bill went with me. We went up, and all of them Republicans in the room got to meet him. He got to chat with some of them. You know what I mean?
Yeah, the Republicans. There you go. That's right. Uh-huh.
Yeah. And some of them admitted that I had a good message. You know what I mean? There was two or three.
Oh, good message, huh? Good message.
Yeah. Yep. So me and Pastor Bill go back to the car lot. We park so he can get in his vehicle. He looks at me. He said, "Brother, I want to tell you, I'm proud of you that you stuck your head out.
Amen, man.
The Lord's proud of you." He said, "He's going to bless you." So then we sit in the parking lot, made plans for the gay parades and the ice cream truck we're taking in the drug neighborhoods. And David Arthur coming. We had a conversation for probably 45 minutes. Then he prayed with me and we left. And we're like smiling. It's like, you know what? We lifted the name of Jesus. We done it. So,
Jeff, when I ran for Congress, as you guys know, some of you don't know, when I ran for Congress, my signs were Coach Dave for Congress. I put my cross hat on. I ran as an open Christian. I said, listen, if I just get 1 out of 5 votes, if just some of the Christians will vote for me, I'll win this stinking thing. I'll win it. I said to somebody, it's going to take 20%. There were 8 of us running. I said, I'm going to throw my hat in the ring. 1 out of 5, if I can get 1 out of 5 votes, 1 out of 5 Christian votes, I can win this thing. Well, 21% won. Somebody was second at 20%, and I was at 18. But so there I was, offered myself as a bold Christian man. They knew what I was, and the Christians didn't vote.
The thing is, you now know there is a percentage of folks out there who are on your side.
That's right. That's a good point. Hey, Larry, not only that, but don't ever forget this. There was a percentage of people, Jeff, who were on your side that their pastors and everybody else said, oh, he can't win. Don't waste your vote on him. He can't win.
That's what Pastor Bill and I talked about last night. 125 churches in the county. Figure how many Christians didn't go vote. Only 6,000 people voted out of 60,000 people. It's terrible.
It is terrible. And part of it is this is part of the issue we're dealing with in America is what? Political parties. Political parties, the endorsement of political parties, just blind voting people. See, here's what's going on in our midst. You trust me, this is going on. I've got something up. Hey, Jared, pull it up here. I want to show you this. Where did I put that, Lord? Where did I put that? I didn't do there. Hey, Jeff, Jared, yeah, go to the first one, Jared. It says ballotpedia.org, ballotpedia.org. Hey, are in the midst.
I've got a few people interested in an idea of mine here, and you might want to spread it in your area. I think that we need to do away with party line voting. I think that a ballot should be a paper ballot, so there can be a trail. And I think that it should have a, what is the office, and then a line, and you write in the name of the person that you want, that is running, that you want to win that, in that line. Mm-hmm. And if you can't write, have moderators there that you can tell them who you're voting for that position, and they can write the name in for you, and then you can initial it or whatever. But it should be, you can't vote unless you at least know the name of the people that are running and which one you're choosing out of which race. If you don't know much information, you don't have any business picking who leads our communities.
It's the same thing though, Larry. When I ran, the two guys who beat me were the former incumbent and the Republican picked candidate. Okay. Yeah. So there was 40% of the vote. And then the rest of the vote, you understand the winner got 21% and the winner got 21%. And the rest of it was spread out over a bunch of other candidates. So they know that. I would agree with you to a point, Larry, What if we went into elections and there were no Republican and Democrat on the ballot? It is the ultimate divide and conquer, the ultimate. People vote party and they don't even know why they vote party. So I agree with you to a point, So you, anytime you run, you have to fight against the machine. And up on your screen right now, I've been warning people of this. There's a political revolution taking place in America today. And most of the media is missing it, or maybe they're not missing it. They don't want us to know it. They don't want us to know what's going on. We are rapidly doing away with labels. It's happening, folks. It's happening. And as you see right up in front of you, there are 64 incumbents who are not running for re-election this year. 64. It's a record number. They're retiring. Now, if Sarge is on here, we could tell you some reasons why they're retiring. But I can tell you this. Here's what's going on. Donald Trump has become a new party. He's become a new party. And when people say that there's going to be a blue wave or whatever was going to happen, that the Democrats are going to sweep in, that's just not true. That just is not true. And I couldn't believe, I don't know what it was like where you guys live, but where we live, everybody running in the primary, it was amazing how many people running in the primary were calling themselves Trump Republicans. Did anybody else notice that? And you know who's walking away? You know who's stepping out? The ones who were never Trump. The ones who didn't support Trump. And so what we see happening is there is an upheaval going on that these new candidates who are surfacing, some of them are maybe better. Some of it, but we know this, a lot of those incumbents, Pat Thieberry, our guy here in Ohio, has been in there 18 years, not running for re-election, has done everything he can to have his hand-picked successor come behind him. So this idea that these Republican districts are going to become Democrat districts, and that's not what's going to be. There's a Trumpism out there that is bigger than political parties. And so the media elite are very, very concerned about that, Steve. They're very concerned about this. And I say this, Jared's got it up there on the screen. Praise the Lord, these guys aren't running. Praise the Lord, Bob Corker's not running. Look at all the names on there. Bob Schuster, Bob Goodlatte, Carol Shea Porter. Let me give you some Republicans that aren't running. Charles Dent, Daryl Issa, Dave Reichert, David Trout, Dennis Ross, Ed Royce, Frank Libondo, Greg Harper, Elena Ross Littman, Jeb Hensarling, Jim Bridenstine, Joe Barton, John Duncan Jr., Lamar Smith, Lynn Jenkins, Paul Ryan. Woo! Rodney Freilinghuisen, yeah.
Just to remind you, 50% or more of these Republicans aren't Republicans.
They're
Republicans.
That's the point that I'm making, see. And so they're being swept. They're resigning, and praise the Lord, new blood is stepping forward. And I'm telling you, I couldn't believe how many guys I saw trying to line up as close as they could to Donald Trump in the Republican primary. Did anybody see that?
Right.
But see, there's something else going on here, too. I'm sorry if I'm talking politics. Just bear with me a second. There's something else going on here, too. These guys are all dirty.
Yes.
These guys are all dirty. Clinton Foundation money. Something going on there. These folks are all dirty.
That's why they're running.
And they're trying to beat the posse out of town. Yes, sir.
Real quick, I just want to say, just because you ignore politics doesn't mean politics will ignore you. That's all.
That's good.
It does matter who the people are that are making our decisions for us, doesn't it? Amen. Trey Gowdy, can I finish here? Ryan Costello. He's a Republican. Ryan Costello. Ted Poe. Thomas Rooney. Trey Gowdy. How about that? No, not running for re-election. Now, they're not running for re-election, and they are in Republican districts. So this blue wave they're talking about, you mean to tell me you think coal miners in Pittsburgh, steel workers, they're going back and voting Democrat? You don't believe that, do you?
Absolutely not.
Those coal miners, they're opening up mines. I just saw Japan has stopped nuclear energy, and now they're going back to coal. Did you see that? You think the coal miners, they're going to vote Hillary again? Come on, boys. We're in the middle of an unbelievable political upheaval. Unbelievable.
This list is all terrorists. They're all terrorists. They sold this country. They sold this country out.
Well, sir, they're worse than terrorists because they're traitors. They're traitors.
That's it. That's the word.
I really believe they're trying to beat the posse out of town. That's really what I think is going on. And you're going down there, and look, these Republicans that aren't seeking re-election. Bob Corker, Senate, those guys never quit.
Right.
Bob Corker, Jared went past it on me, I think. Let's go back down there. Bob Corker, the dude out in out in Utah, on down, Jared, on down. Right there, hang on. Nope. I don't know.
Hatch.
Orrin Hatch. There it is. Orrin Hatch isn't running anymore. And one other one. Three Republicans, what was his name? Flake.
Right.
Jeff Flake. Not running for real. Yep. So there's an upheaval going on. The big upheaval.
Hey, Jerry, can you drop this link in the chat, please?
Yep.
I want to encourage Jeff Klein to go back at it. Thomas Edison tried to invent electricity, and it took him nearly 2,000 times in trying. And all he said was, well, I figured out there was 2,000 ways of not doing it. You know, so you keep going. Yeah. What's happening is this. And so we don't want to give up. And I just look, you know, just remembering back to our founding fathers, the founding of the Declaration of Independence, 27 of those guys had seminary divinity degrees. There is no separation of church and state, but when the separate itself from the state, then this is what fills the vortex, as Dietrich Bonhoeffer said. The only thing for evil to prevail is for good men to do nothing. And so this is the time that we rush to those things. We fill that vortex, or evil is quickly there to fill it. Amen, brother?
Amen. Hey, Dale, listen, guys, this is why it's important. You got to hear me. This is why our event in June is important. Numbers matter. And when people look and say, who are those guys? Who are they? Can you imagine 200 of us, 250 of us with cross hats on and shirts? Can you imagine us out in front of the abortion clinic? Can you imagine us out in front of the mosque? Can you see us at the the homosexual pride parade? Can you imagine the image that will portray? And it'll catch attention of more and more people. Oh, and they'll lie about us. They'll call us all kinds of names, and we're haters, and we're violent, and they'll do all that stuff, but we're going to awaken the consciousness of America, and people are going to say, hey, that's what I've been looking for right there. That's what I've been looking for.
Amen.
So that's why we need you. That's why we need you to be able to get here, man. Oh man. There's good stuff going on. It's all around us. Somebody jump in here, because I got 1,000 different directions to go, but I'm just pausing for a second to give the Holy Spirit a chance to see if somebody out there has something on them.
Dave, I'll jump in.
Well, just want to clarify.
Hang on. Go ahead, Roger.
Oh, I was on the incumbents resigning. I think the other thing is, if you resign, if you retire, your benefits are unbelievable. If you're defeated in the election, you don't get benefits. You get something, but to retire, these guys retire with benefits you and I will never have.
That's right. They're traitors. We just don't call those words anymore. It is sick. It is sick, and we've allowed it to happen.
Hey, Coach.
I
just want to throw them in. Yeah, this one term those people have to serve to get those benefits. First of all, I mean, people who go into war and lose limbs don't get benefits like these freaks do. It's ridiculous.
Right. So we have to reclaim that, don't we, Vin? We have to reclaim our government. But understand this: the answer is not political.
Right.
We're not going to win this fight politically, folks. We're not going to do it. If you really want to talk about a reformation, why is it still only 435 members of 435 members of Congress, with as much as the population? We ought to have 5,000 people in Congress, 5,000 people to vote. So that's not, you get it. So the impact's not spread. In fact, we'll just do away with Washington D.C. to be perfectly honest with you. Yeah. Oh, I got so much stuff. I got so much stuff.
Well, and we actually have a petition in the state of Louisiana to have a state, I believe it is a convention of the Constitution in Louisiana. And that's something that is gaining ground nationally, that there really is a thing in place that could gather. I'm not sure if it's two-thirds or How many of the states have they gathered to the Constitution of Convention that they can come together, brother, and they can abolish all this
retarded... That's scary, though, Dale. Let me tell you why that's scary. Convention of the States is scary because you don't know who's going to get in power. They'll get in power.
And I get when they're in power in that, even when they vote, because I know what you're saying, they can actually rewrite things. There has to be like an 80% approval to change anything. So it has to be a massive approval.
Yeah. Yeah. Our answers are not political. I know you know the answer's not political. Listen, hey, Jared, click on where it says Trump. Go ahead, George. I heard you there, I thought.
The answer is the answer is a Nathan going unto the King David, who is the political figure,
right,
and saying, "You're the man." The political voice needs to hear the prophetic voice.
That's right. So like George would always tell us, we have this opportunity to elect Dan Fisher. Are Christians going to come out and elect Dan Fisher? What do you suppose the odds are that Christians will come out and elect a pro-life, really, 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 really pro-life, pro-abolition governor? Christians could do that, right? What do you think the odds are that they're going to do that? Because Christians are pro-choice.
Hey, Coach, if they do elect him, brother, there's going to be a revolution.
I've got a little bit of a platform that the radio show that I do from a Joplin radio station about real estate. And I spent 10 minutes talking about Dan Fisher on my radio show that airs every Saturday morning, endorsed for not only governor, but I said, I'd vote for him because he's going to abolish abortion. I spent 10 minutes on my radio show talking Fisher. And a radio show reaches into three counties in the northeast corner of Oklahoma. I'm going to endorse him. I'm going to continue to endorse him until he runs for the primaries.
Amen. We got to do that. But is he going to get elected? Will the churches stand up? See, it's so easy. It'd be so easy. This ought to be a blowout win for Dan Fisher. And we got to go around and convince him. So something crazy is happening. Not crazy. Something revolutionary is happening right now. I got it up on the screen here right now. The Iran deal was terminated yesterday, right? You guys realize that the 8 years of Obama has almost been officially washed down the toilet. You guys know that?
Amen.
That everything Obama put into place, almost everything, there's still some work to do. Almost everything's gone. The Iran deal was his. It was the cherry on top of the sundae, the Iran deal, which was never. Did you guys know this?
Never signed.
It was never signed. It was never ratified. In fact, the Senate voted no on the Iranian deal, and Obama did it anyway, as a dictator. So Trump comes in and terminates it. Look what I got up on top of me. Think about this. Think of what's happened. The revolution that's taken place in the last year and a half, a week, we don't even know it because we're sitting in the middle of it. The Paris climate deal, gone. How long did Obama and his rats work to get that thing through? Gone. The Trans-Pacific Partnership, gone. These were all Obama's, man. These were Obama's victories, right? The individual mandate, repealed. And why do we have any Obamacare at all? Well, just all those 64 people that are resigning. That's why we have Obamacare. They're out the door, man. They're gone. But the individual mandate, which was the meat behind Obamacare, gone. Obama's war on coal ended. It's ended. Appeasing our enemies, over. Balance of the Supreme Court. What if Hillary had been elected? Who would have taken Scalia's place? By the way, I'm more convinced than ever they killed him. Killed him to be able to get their own guy in that, to take that very far, that way, well, he wasn't far, right? But that conservative seat and turn into another Ruth Bader Ginsburg if Hillary had been elected. Obama's anti-American, anti-freedom, anti-West legacy is being obliterated. These are unbelievable here. Yeah.
That was Loretta Lynch that they were plugging it for Ruth Bader Ginsburg's spot. We all know that now.
We know that now. And so now we hey, come on. If we can get Trump to bone up, we get him bone up. Huh? Getting the bone up, we might get rid of some of this other stuff, this homo stuff that they're shoving down our face. Hey, Jared, go to Webster's 1828 for me real quickly if we can. All this homo this and homo that. And they're trying to shove down our kids' throats. Maybe we'll get Planned Parenthood defunded. Maybe we'll get Dan Fisher elected to the governor of Oklahoma and do away with them. Maybe we'll get an abortion challenge to the Supreme Court with another righteous judge. Maybe we get Kennedy out of there and somebody else in, and then another abortion case comes to the Supreme Court. You guys see where this thing's trending? And we still have the Never Trumpers, and we still got 40, however many of these bums and these rhinos, whatever you want to call them in Congress, are getting booted out. So I gotta show you. I saw this in when we were in Maine, state of Maine, last weekend. I was listening to Diane Spitz speak, and you know what it hit me? You hear me? We got to quit using their language. I listened to Diane make her presentation, and it was a powerful presentation. But she used all of their words. I said, Coach, what are you talking about? Gay. Well, they ain't gay. We're going to make, hey, Jared, we're going to make it by the censors on this one, you think? They ain't gay. You know, folks, they're not gay. LGBTQ, what the hell is that? Why are we using that? Why don't we just say sexual deviance? Why do we use their terms? Instead of calling them homos or gay, why aren't we calling them sodomites? See, that makes people nervous when, in fact, that's what the Bible says. Why don't we call them what the Bible says? LGBTQ, gay this, gay that. We're using all of their words. So as Diane was making her presentation, I got on my phone and I said, this is killing me here, Lord. And I went to Webster's 1828 dictionary. I'm going to show you something. You're going to have to change your pants when we're done here. I said, hey, Jared, do me a favor. I got in an argument with Jack McCarthy. By the way, Jack came to my house yesterday. All you guys up in Maine, Jack stopped by, he and his daughter Mercy yesterday on his way to San Diego. They stopped by here for a couple hours. It was good to see Jack, another good guy and follower of our show and what we do and all that stuff. So I'm listening to the homo this and homo that and blah, blah, blah. I told you my brain goes 1,000 different directions. I'm going to get to the word here in a minute. Hang on. It goes 1,000 different directions. And I'm thinking homo. And so I turned over to Jack and I said, Jack, you know what homo means? And he looked back at me and he said, human? He didn't really know. And I said, no, I think it's homo means same, doesn't it? Homogenous, homogenized, same, homo. Yeah, I think so. I thought, well, I'm going to go to Webster's, check it out. Okay, so Jared, type in homo. Homo, just H-O-M-O. Just type in there isn't a word called homo. What? Yeah, there wasn't a word in 1828 called homo. The what? The word? What's going on here? I'm going to make a connection here you never saw. No homo? There's got to be, man. There's got to be. So I said, okay, well, how about this? Jared, type in homo sapien. Homo sapien. H-O-M-O. Yeah, check that one out, Jared. Click on that. Why, there's no word as homo sapien? In 1828, Webster's Dictionary, no word of homo sapien? Are you kidding me? So I said, oh, okay, well, something going on here then. I'm going back to my science and what they taught me in school. I said, what about hominoid? There's got to be a hominoid, H-O-M-O-N-O-I-D. There's certainly a hominoid. Huh? What? No hominoid? And then it was like a punch in the face. It hit me. Every one of those terms, homo, homo sapien, hominoid, are an invention of evolution. Every one of them are an invented word from evolution. Every one of them. This is 1828. Darwin's theory of evolution had not come forth yet. So there weren't even words. It was made up words. Homo sapien. Okay, Jared, let's do something here. Let's go to a regular dictionary now. Go to dictionary.com or Merriam-Webster or something like that. And let's see what modern language tells us. Well, Jared, let's type in. Let's try the same thing. Type in homo. What's it say, Jared? What's our salute? Homo. Often capitalized. Homo. Homo. Oh, look at that. Ha! Any of the genus of hominoids that include modern humans. There we are. Another made up word. And now we have a total and complete evolution based on made up words by Charles Darwin. Did you guys know that? Oh, my Lord. I said, Jared, let's go down to the origin and etymology of homo. Homo. It's Latin, meaning human being. First known and used 1591. They call us homo sapiens, and it's freaking made up. Jared, go to homo sapien. And see what it tells us. Homo sapien. It'd be two words. Homo sapiens. Let's go down here. Why, homo sapiens, humankind. Come on, Jared. Let's get down to the entomology here. And let's figure out where's origin and etymology of homo sapiens. It's New Latin. It's species name for homo, the genus name. Here we go. You remember how that goes, right? You remember a kingdom, phylum, genus, right? There it is. Homo sapien. Going down. See if it gives us a little bit more here, Jared. Boy, have they lied to us. And boy, have we eaten it up. Homo sapiens. Synonyms. Humanity. Humankind. Man. Mankind. Hey, Jared, what about a humanoid? Mammal, look at that. Now they're calling other mammal terms. See, they, in order for evolution to work, they got to make us animal. It's the only way they can make it work. Humanoid, what's a humanoid? Why, having human form or characteristic. Humanoid robot. It's a noun. Going down, Jared, where'd this word come from? There it was, Jared. First known, right there, 1918. And now, are you guys getting the significance of this? Is this grasping anybody but me? It wasn't even a word till 1918. In 1828, when Webster is doing this exhaustive creation of the Webster's Dictionary, homo sapien, it didn't even exist. Humanoid. This is unbelievable, man.
Hey, Coach, you remember back in the day, they were called faggots? Remember that?
I do.
That comes from John chapter 15. The word faggot is a bundle of sticks. And in John 15, it says they gathered the bundle of sticks, broken off, and they were burned in the fire, brother.
Is that something?
We call them that. They had to change it when they understood what they really were. They were dried up, burned up sticks.
So what would happen to you if you walked into any church today in America and you used the word sodomite? Oh, Dale, what if you used faggot? What? Oh, my goodness. Hey, Jared, go to Webster's. That would be, tell me it's not going to, oh, come on. Tell me it's ain't going to be in Webster's. Faggot. F-A-G. Okay, great. Lisa's not there. A bundle. One G. A bundle of sticks, twigs, or smaller branches.
Yeah, sure.
Huh? Oh my goodness.
Yeah. I'm talking about cigarettes.
When you go to John 15 and you look up that word, you're going to find the branches that were broken off. That word from the Greek was faggot, and that's what it was. These things are dead, broken off from the vine, and they were reserved for a fire, brother. That's
Jared found here. He's got it underlined. Faggot, verb transitive, to collect promiscuously. Goodness gracious. Is this unbelievable? So when we say change the words, change the world, brothers, right there it is. It, the common term Homo sapien wasn't even invented until 1980. Wasn't even such a word.
Coach.
1918. That's only 100 years ago.
And
yes. Yes.
Fag was also described as a cigarette in Britain.
No, I cover your ears. It's because you sucked on the cigarette. That's why it's called a fag. That's why they call it a fag.
That's true.
So right, are you guys with me? This is incredible, isn't it? Huh? Isn't this incredible?
Wow.
Incredible. So I was listening to Diane. I'm coming back to it. I was listening to Diane make her presentation, and she was using all of the homosexual terms. We use all their language. All of their language. What does the Bible say about a homosexual? What does the Bible call it? Sodomy. And David Arthur, as we saw in Webster's Dictionary, pulled up there again, Jared, for those who didn't see this before, type in sodomy, and what does it say? A crime against nature. A crime against nature. We'll say it again. Sodomy is a crime against nature.
Amen, brother.
And we won't use it. In fact, we won't use fornicate anymore, do we? Jared, what's that say? What did Webster say fornication was? Why, it's in there. Why, it's still in there, huh? What is it? Why, it's the incontinence or lewdness or of unmarried persons, male or female, also the criminal conversation of married men with an unmarried. A conversation of a married man with an unmarried woman. Just the conversation was considered fornication. It's adultery, it's incest, biblical references to it, idolatry, the forsaking of the true God and worshiping of idols. What do you think homosexuality is? The worshiping of the creature more than the creator. Right in Romans 1. Right in Romans 1. So, okay, so guys, what do we do? What do we do? We got to start using... We got to start calling it what it is. Hey, it's a revolution going on. We're in a counterculture revolution. And if we want to win the counterculture revolution, then we have to adopt revolutionary ideas like telling the truth. That's revolutionary, isn't it? Calling things what they are. That would be revolutionary, wouldn't it? Now, Jeff, it ain't going to get you elected. They're not going to get you elected. But you're going to be a witness to Christ when you openly call things the way they are. Now, Jared, listen to this, Jared. When we post this thing on YouTube, don't give them any hint this is what we're talking about. Because those creeps are out there right now trying to figure out any way they can to censor us for saying it. And everybody would understand and agree with me, wouldn't you, that everything we've said here so far, we haven't besmirched anybody. And we're simply talking about language. We're not calling people names. We're not doing anything. We are simply going to the dictionary and we're finding the dictionary definition for things that they've... Hey, Jared, what does this say about lesbian? Is lesbian in there? Interesting. Lisbon? Oh, there's no lesbian? Lesbian? There wasn't any lesbian in 1828. What about GLLT? How about transgender? I wonder if that's in there. Hey, Jared, I got one for you. No transgender. Hey, Jared, I got one for you. Jared, let's just do gender. Let's just do gender. What's gender? To beget or to be born. A woman, a wife. Jenna, a wife and a father. Proper gender is a sex, male or female. Hence, in grammar, a difference in words to express distinction of sex, usually a difference of termination in nouns, adjectives, and participles. Oh, I haven't used any of these words since I was in elementary school. To express the distinction of male and female. You cannot separate male and female from gender. They are the same. But although this was the original design of different terminations, yet in the progress of language, other words having no relation to one sex or the other came to have genders assigned by custom. Words expressing males are said to be of the masculine gender. Those expressing females are of the female gender. And in some languages, words expressing things having no sex are of the neuter or neither gender. But there isn't any cross-gendering, transgendering. The idea of it doesn't even exist. Yet, Jared, pedophile. Let's see if that's in there. Back in 1828. Huh. Anybody picking up what I'm laying down? Is there any reason, any wonder why we're so screwed up? And isn't it amazing that for the most part, the changes in the language have come from the scientific community? They have used science, unquestionable science, to destroy everything faith-based. That's what they've done. So science comes out and calls David Arthur transgender. They make up a word for his deviancy. I have a commentary I wrote last week. I was going to called what the heck did I call that thing? Don't have time for it. The legalization of deviant behavior. I don't even know where I'm taking you this morning. I don't even know. Other than I'm exasperated of how much we have been dumbed down. And I made the comment yesterday that the greatest dumbing down in America has not occurred in our schools, occurred in our churches. Our churches won't even call nor acknowledge sin. They won't call it sin, and they won't acknowledge it as sin. So in order for the culture to have been so dumbed down, the church had to first be dumbed down. So if you want to empty your church, go into it and start openly talking about sodomites, sodomy. Get away of all the politically correct terms like gender, LGBTQ, gay. Start talking about couples, people who are couples. No, they're fornicators. But see, we can't do that because that's not very loving, and that's not very nice, and that's not very kind, and people aren't going to come to Jesus. And certainly, Dale, don't do a sermon on faggotry, burning sticks that are pulled up and bound. Like, oh, my goodness.
Well, brother, that's how I found out what it was, brother. That's what I preached on and when we lost a couple. Hallelujah.
Amen. Okay, listen, I got to get this in. Oh, I got so much. Let me see. Let's stay right here. One more thing I wanted to show you. I'll come back to that tomorrow. Got to get this in. Hey, fellas, listen, just piggybacking on Jared, go to the very last thing. It says Christian Holocaust. Because if you'd see my emails, I really got some interest going about people's eyes are getting opened to how much we've been deceived by that little country in the Middle East and how the focus is there. Look at this. Somebody. The hidden Holocaust, 12.7 million Christians murdered in the USSR, 12.7 million Christians. When's the last time you heard about the
Holocaust? Coach, I've heard as much as 60 million, brother.
Well, that's just in Russia. That's just in Russia.
Yeah, just in Russia.
When's the last time you heard about that? And then I was on a show yesterday with Chris, I want. Anyway, I have a few minutes to talk. And I said this. Does this bother anybody? If they're bombing, we are. Israel is.
Right.
Killing Syrian Christians. Our Christian brothers and sisters. And the church cheers while, I'm sorry, Christless Israel kills Christians in Syria. Does that bother?
Christian Zionists, that, bro. That's what
does
it
that
is.
Bother anybody? Is that, does that bother?
Absolutely.
Should it bother? Should it bother us? See, I'm going to get censored for even bringing it up. We're throwing all this money to Israel, and they're killing our Christian brothers and sisters. And I hate to tell you this, these Israelites, they ain't our brothers and sisters. Oh, my wife. I love you, honey. Are you guys with me? I'm getting a lot of emails on this. Those who say they are Jews, and are not, but of the synagogue of Satan.
Exactly.
I mean, it's maybe it's right there. It's right there in front of us.
Right.
And so we look at what's going on now over again in the Middle East and the whole Iran situation, the whole Syria situation. Man, oh, man. I think America, my opinion only, I think we're on the wrong side on some of these issues.
Exactly.
Yep. Amen.
And I think we're on the wrong side of some of these issues because of, with the approval of the Christian community. Yeah, Jared.
Hey, Coach, I wish your show had been around. I lived in Syria. I was there when this was happening. I knew of these Christian communities. You know, I could have gone there and visited them. And the reason I got out of the military was this reason. I knew, God knew, whatever, that our country was fighting wars that were wrong for the wrong reasons. And I couldn't tell you. I was 23, right? I mean, I don't know. Right. But I just knew that it was wrong. That it was just wrong what we were doing. You know, I'm looking at these people driving around with a 6-foot-long machine gun, you know, and a fully automatic grenade launcher. And I'm looking at these people for years, we're just driving around here shooting these people. And it's like, look, if they cause us a problem, fight them, kill them, and leave. If they didn't, don't. You know, and it's... Anyway.
Amen, Jared, for you saying this.
Amen. Yeah, see, amen. Amen. Folks, these are issues, man, we got to deal with. These are really, really, really issues.
And hey, Coach.
Yeah, George.
I remember that game show years ago. It's, will the real so-and-so please stand up? You know, we ought to do a new game show to help the Christian community and say, will the real Jesus please stand up? Because because unfortunately, I think a lot of, quote, good Christian moral people, they're making decision based upon flawed information. And that
George,
was me.
You just gave me, George, you just gave me the title to my commentary for the day. That is powerful. The real Jesus, please stand up.
Amen.
George, amen.
George, it's going to go viral. It's going to go viral. Man, amen. Thank you, George. Thank you for being there this morning. Will the real Jesus please stand up? Oh, my. What's my line, by the way? What's my line? That was the name of the show.
Hey, Coach.
Yep.
Okay. All right. And I'll give you guys who's the most guilty of this. You know, for back when the Bush was around, I voted for Bush Senior and Bush Junior. And you know what? I've had to repent. I should have voted for Ron Paul. But like you said, Ron Paul didn't have a chance.
He can't win.
Because he couldn't win. Because that's not, you know what? The people really didn't want a Ron Paul. They wanted someone that they thought was the epitome of morality. And look what we got.
Amen, boys and girls. 2 Timothy chapter 3, real quickly. I'm running out of time. I didn't get much scripture in here. Where is it, Coach? 2 Timothy chapter 3. Oh, Jared, can you get there real quick? We're running out of time. There it is. Chapter 3, verse 12. Got it. Oh, Jared's fast on the switch here. Verse 12. Oh, verse 11, persecutions, affliction. Verse 12. Yea, boys and girls, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. Not may, not might occasionally. If you are living godly in Christ Jesus, you will suffer persecution. Why? But evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. Oh, it's not what you say that counts. It's what you don't say.
Amen.
God bless you. God bless you. We'll see you tomorrow.